In John's Gospel, Jesus says that he is the resurrection and the life. What does that mean? How does he prove it? Well, we're going to spend some time in that gospel over the next few weeks here on this podcast as I play you some of the sermons I've given at my church on the topic. So let's dive into John now and see what he has to say. So this evening we're going to be looking at John's gospel and John's big aim. His big aim in his book, it's quite famous, is that we should believe in Jesus. It's written in John 20:31. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. John has said that quite explicitly, so therefore that's what we're looking for. Everything that John has written is so that we may believe that Jesus is the Messiah and that we may have life in his name. Now there's a lot we could see in John 11. We've looked at John 11 before as a church. It was about 3 years ago. And it's not on the website, unfortunately. I tried to have a look. But this evening, we're going to try and focus in on two particular things. Two things that we can believe. Two things that we can know about Jesus. And the first of those is that Jesus cares for those he loves. Jesus cares for those he loves. In John chapter 11, we're introduced to a man named Lazarus. Lazarus, to be precise, that's Lazarus from Bethany. But we're told that he's ill. In fact, we're told many times that he's ill. Verse 1, ill. Verse 2, ill. Verse 3, Lazarus is ill. So his two sisters send word to Jesus there in verse 3 to tell him what's going on. They seem to have a direct line to Jesus, a close friendship, it seems. And did you see how they describe Lazarus in verse 3? He's the one that Jesus loves. Now, it's the first time that John has mentioned God loving someone since John 3:16. John's making a point. It's something special here. And then we're told again in verse 5 that Jesus loves this family from Bethany. Verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So what would you expect Jesus to do with the news of Lazarus's illness? I mean, we know how the story goes, don't we? But let's forget about that for a moment. What would we expect Jesus to do with the news of Lazarus's illness? When you receive news that a family member or a close friend is on their deathbed, you drop everything to be there, don't you? When someone is dying, you drop everything, right? Remember, forget what we know is going to happen. What would you expect Jesus to do? Well, now look at verse 6. Let me read verse 5 so we get the impact here. Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, so when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. He loved them, so he stayed where he was 2 more days. That seems to be going against what I'm saying, doesn't it? That Jesus cares for those he loves? But John is saying that Jesus loved Lazarus and his sisters, so he stayed where he was. Why does Jesus wait? Well, he gives the beginning of an answer in verse 4. Take a look with me. Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." This illness will not end in death. As it happens, Lazarus is going to die. But it's not going to end that way. It's going to end spectacularly, but it's not going to end in that way. Instead, it's for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. If you know John, Jesus had said similar things a couple of chapters back in chapter 9. He's saying that this illness is not ultimately there to kill off Lazarus. The end goal isn't that. Instead, it's to glorify God so that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Well, how does that work out? The issue with us starting in John chapter 11 is that we haven't got the rest of John. We haven't got the full backstory. But fortunately, the disciples are there to help us out. So as Jesus and his disciples set off to Bethany, the disciples stop him and they question, why does he want to return there? You see, the last time he was there, the Jews had tried to stone him. So it's absolute madness in their eyes for Jesus to want to return. But look what Jesus says in verses 9 and 10. Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this world's light. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light. What's going on there? Well, before the invention of the clock feature on a mobile phone, people used to have a simple technique for telling when it was time to work and when it was time to stop. It was a God-given way. When the sun came up, it's time to work. When the sun goes down, it's time to rest. Simple. God is the one who dictates those timings. God is the one who tells the sun when to rise and the one who tells the sun when to set. God is in charge of the times. And just the same, it is under God's control when Jesus' hour will come. It's under God's control when that threat from the Jews will come to completion. It's under God's control when Jesus will die. And in this response, Jesus is showing that the problem in this world for him is not the Jews. It's not the threat of death. It's not the threat of death for him or for Lazarus. Jesus is showing that it's the darkness, the rejection of God's light, that is the real problem here. And that's why Jesus can state, why he can say simply to his disciples that Lazarus is just asleep and he's going to go wake him up. You see, death is not a problem for the Son of God. But that confuses the poor disciples, doesn't it? They seem to miss what Jesus was talking about. They seem to think that Jesus really meant that Lazarus was just asleep. So in verse 14, Jesus has to tell them plainly, so there's no symbolism involved now. Lazarus has died. But then again, we get the shock we saw earlier. Verse 15. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. Jesus says to his disciples that what is about to happen is so that they may believe. So Jesus, showing his love to Lazarus' family and his love to his disciples, means he delays going to Lazarus' side. Do you see that? Jesus shows us that true love places belief over life. It's so important to Jesus that his disciples believe that Jesus can be glad that he wasn't there when Lazarus died. How does that apply to us? Well, I think it's actually something that's really useful to grasp. See, when things don't go as we expect them to, when things don't look like we'd like them to, we shouldn't think that God is incompetent. We shouldn't think that God doesn't care about us. Instead, we should see our circumstances as working out his greater purpose, even if that is unseen or unknowable to us. Because just like this family in Bethany, every Christian is loved by God. So for the same reasons here, any threat or experience of sickness, of suffering, of death, are not a betrayal or a contradiction of God's love for us. If God delays in responding to our crisis, like he did with Lazarus, that doesn't mean that he doesn't love us. That doesn't mean he doesn't care for us. See, John 11, this chapter here, calls us to look for the glory of God in every circumstance. There are so many mysteries in death and evil in our world, aren't there? But we shouldn't calculate if God loves us based off them. Because as we see here, Jesus cares for those that he loves. That's the first thing to see. The second thing I want us to see this evening is found in Jesus' statement in verse 25. It's one of his big I am statements in John. You might know John has a number of these. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. As Jesus arrives in Bethany, he finds out that Lazarus has been in his tomb for 4 days. He really is dead. And as he arrives, the two sisters, both in their own time, speak to him. And they express quite similarly to each other how their brother would not have died if Jesus had been there. And that's where we get this statement from Jesus as he speaks to Lazarus's sister, Martha. So as Martha, in her grief, comes to Jesus, what does Jesus do? Well, we see him point her to something else, don't we? We see him point to himself. Jesus diverts from the loss and grief over Lazarus, and he points to himself. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, if you remember, a few years back, there was a man by the name of Steve Jobs. He was the CEO, he was the big cheese at Apple. And the connection between Jobs and Apple, the company, was unbreakable. Steve Jobs could have easily said, I am Apple. Apple was so bound up with Steve Jobs and what he did that effectively he gave it his name. He was Apple. That's kind of similar to what's going on here. When Jesus says he is the resurrection and the life, he is connecting himself so centrally to it that he's saying, apart from me, there is no resurrection and life. I am the one who gives it. It is bound up with me. Do you believe that? Jesus asks Martha. Do you believe that? How does she reply? Verse 27. Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. Now, just notice for a moment that verse there, verse 27. Notice how similar that response is to what John said the point of his gospel is. Just notice how similar that is. It's up there on the screen. Oh, there's the bit she said. So close, isn't it? But now Martha's going to get to think about the second part of that. She's going to get to think about the life part. Because her belief is really put to the test when she takes Jesus to the tomb. And he asks her to open it in verse 39. Lord, by this time there is a bad odour. Or as I remember from Sunday school, the KJV puts it, Lord, by this time he stinketh. This is really going to put the resurrection and the life to the test, isn't it? So as they roll away the stone, Jesus prays and repeats again for everyone to hear the whole purpose of this situation. He says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe you sent me. And with a loud cry, he shouts, Lazarus, come out. Talking of Steve Jobs earlier, you might know that back in 2011, he died. However, if you've been paying close attention to the news this week, you'd know that it's been buzzing with a conspiracy theory because someone spotted a lookalike of him in Egypt in a coffee shop. Now, we all know that people don't generally rise from the dead, let alone sip coffee. There has to be another explanation. That's what's going on there. But when Jesus tells people to come out of their graves, they do. Someone once said that if Jesus didn't take care to say Lazarus's name, that all the dead would have come out of their graves at that point. As Jesus cries, Lazarus, come out, it isn't a lookalike who steps out of the cave. No, John makes a point of it. He says, the man who had died came out. The very same Lazarus from Bethany, is the one who comes out. Jesus is the resurrection and the life. You can be certain of that. So that question that Jesus asks Martha, actually, when we see it here, we can see it wasn't just spoken to Martha back then. It's written here in John's Gospel, which means that question goes out to the whole earth. Do you believe this? Do you, sitting here this evening, believe this? Do we believe this? You see, Martha gave verbal assent. She said that she believed it. But as they walked to the tomb, she didn't really expect it to happen. Lord, he stinketh. It's easy to say you believe something, but when push comes to shove, do we truly believe what Jesus says? In this chapter, John 11, Jesus wants us to believe it. Because in this small image of love shown to a family in a small village, Jesus wants us to believe that he is the resurrection and the life. Jesus wants us to grasp that the one who believes in him will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in him will never die. And this small image of love to that family in Bethany points us forward to the larger image of love that has been shown to us, doesn't it? Through Jesus' own death and resurrection. So one simple question to think over. Do we believe this? I hope you found that helpful and edifying. If you have any feedback or questions, feel free to reach out to me via email. The details are in the show notes. But until next time, let's keep praising God this week.